Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
See the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. You, as a child, read this story, or someone read this story for you, but we're just going to look at one verse here. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. When you find it, shout praise the Lord. The Word of God says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Today we're going to be talking about there are more giants, but there are still more stones. There are more giants, but there are still more stones. Anybody in here besides me has had to face a giant, say in the past month? Anybody hold your hand up. You've been having to face some giants. We're going to be talking about that today. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings upon on this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the anointing, because without the anointing, Father, we can do nothing. We pray, Father, that this word would go forth in charity, would go forth in power. Lord, that your word would be alive in our spirit, Father, and our ground would receive this seed to bring forth much fruit. So we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to talk about counterattacks. I enjoy watching boxing. I never was one to box. I did wrestle when I was in school. And I'm telling you, wrestling is probably one of the hardest sports there is. And I'm not talking about your WWE, hit him with some kind of folding chair. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this true sport of wrestling. You're going a minute and a half, and that's all you can go. I mean, it is so incredibly difficult to do that. You have three rounds, and you're doing your best to try to pin the opponent. And I can tell you, it's very difficult, and you have to be able to counterattack some of the moves they have, just like you would in boxing. You have to learn how to, and you know, the number one rule in boxing is always protect yourself, right? And so this is something I feel like the Lord is speaking to us about the counterattacks. Now, I know there are many attacks that's happening. You know, I do a series. I did it way back in Dequeen when I began pastoring, and it's called Every Christian's Battle. And every Christian in this room, everyone in this room, Christian, you're going to go through a battle. We're all going to be facing all types of adversity. Not only are we going to be facing the, you know, demonic powers, but we're all going to be facing our own powers, our own mistakes and our own faults. And so there's so many dynamics at stake, but I want to talk a little bit about counterattacks, because every major attack that you overcome is often followed by counterattack. I saw that, Sister Linda, when they call it a war, and I think the reason they called it the 12-day war, because there was actually a 6-day war in June decades ago, and I think maybe that's what they were trying to you know, replicate this 12-day war. But I saw something, how Israel decided, okay, we're going to do a ceasefire, and they did that, and then all of a sudden there were more attacks, counterattacks, more attacks upon and Beersheba, where many people lost their lives. And so I see how this enemy is. You may overcome a certain area in your life. You may have victory at one point in your life, and then all of a sudden here comes a counterattack. So we always have to keep our guard up. And that is the end time goal of Satan. What Satan wants to do, and let me just tell you this. I know many of you know this. Satan wants to wear you out with all types of devices. He wants to wear you down. That is his ultimate goal, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Listen to what. Now, I said this, Pastor Jamie, when we began this decade, in the 2020s. I said, this will be the Daniel decade, and man, has it ever come to pass. But I said something that would take place in this decade, and I'm seeing it. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, I want you to see this prophecy. It says, and he shall speak great words. Who's he talking about here? Who is he? Well, it is the Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's the Most High? Well, it's Jehovah. It's God. And look what he says next. And shall wear out the saints of God, the saints of the Most High. Wear out is what I want you to see there. And he says, and he'll think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand into a time and times and a dividing of times, which is 3.5 years. Well, I will tell you this, that what Daniel was talking about is going to come to pass. That literally is going to come to pass. But there's another component that we have to speak of, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is here. It's alive. And the demonic power, its initiative is to wear you down. It's to wear your soul down. Like we talked about, if you missed last Sunday morning, you missed one of the best messages you'll ever hear called Soul Wounds. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to wear your soul down. He wants to destroy your life. Caleb, can you bring me that chair? I'm getting really dizzy. The Hebrew phrase for wear out is this. Wear out is, and now I didn't write this, but this is the Hebrew word, the phrase for this, okay? It is this phrase, Bella. Do you know anybody know anybody named Bella? That's the Hebrew word, the phrase for wear out. And it means this. It means to mentally oppress and wear a person down. That's what wear out is. Mentally oppress and wear a person down. Look at Psalms, if you will. Psalms division 107 and verse 26. It says, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now look at verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Have you ever felt like that you were at your wits' end? Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance that has been so troubling that has just zapped all of your energy, all of your hope, all of your strength, and you just felt like you were at your wits' end? Again, this is the strategy of the devil. He wants to put you at your wits' end. He wants you, now I want you to listen to me very closely, because some of you have dealt with this. The devil wants you to lose your mind. He wants you to lose your mind. He wants your soul to melt. He wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. Now, being at your wits' end, what does that actually mean? What does that phrase mean, that expression mean? Well, it means to be at the end of wisdom. To be completely at your wits' end. End of wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the application of knowledge. To get to that point where you just can't even reason anymore. You can't even make good decisions anymore because of all of the things that you've been facing and the struggles that you're going through. So what do you do? What do you do when you feel spent? What do you do when you are you're at a vulnerable place? What do you do when your mind is so weary? When your body is too tired to fight anymore? You know, Galatians 6 talks about be not weary in well-doing. But it never said anything about just being not weary generally, right? Generally speaking. In doing good, yeah, you got to keep doing good. We all have to do those things. But there's this time when the enemy continues to fight, and you feel so spent. And this is what I've learned. When in those times when I just feel like I'm too tired to fight, this is what I've learned. I've learned to do this one thing, and I'm going to help you here. I've learned to stand still and watch God fight my battle for me. I have made myself to just literally stop. Stop myself in my tracks. I may have been busy. I may have been just overwhelmed. And I've learned just to get alone and just let God fight my battle for me. Amen? Now look at 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17. It talks about that. It says, you shall not need, it'll be on your screen, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. And so this is scriptural. There's nothing wrong with you stopping. Maybe you're in a marriage right now and you're just struggling. Or maybe you're at your job and you just don't know what to do with certain situations. Or maybe it's a ministry, or just maybe it's your health. Whatever it could be. It could be finances. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Let God fight your battles. Look at your neighbor and tell him, hey neighbor, let God fight your battles. So my best advice for you right now, we're talking about this morning, there's more giants, there are more giants, but there are still more stones. So my best advice for you to do is right now to be on guard. Always be on guard. Always be on guard. Don't let your guard down. Just like the prize fighter who is in the boxing ring, he's protecting himself at all times. Don't let your guard down, because those counterattacks are coming. You may feel like, well, I've won this issue. Maybe you had an addiction or a habit, or maybe there's something going on in your relationship. And you're like, I've won this area. I'm overcame this area. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes this T-bone, this attack, counterattack in your life, and you weren't prepared for it. So I would suggest always be on guard. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober. In other words, be awake. Be vigilant. Always be vigilant. Because your adversary, who's your adversary? The devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, looking for his opportunity to pounce or to attack, to destroy, to tear apart with his jaws, his claws, somebody that has got their guard down. And he says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are not in the world. Guess what? You're not alone. You're not by yourself. There are others going through battles just like you are. I was at the, I wanted to get away and kind of get out and get some fresh air. And I went, Caleb is a lifeguard. And by the way, I'm so proud of Caleb. A few weeks ago, he rescued a young boy from drowning. And I think that we should honor Caleb for that. It was just a great thing. Parents weren't paying attention, and this boy was needing help, and Caleb dove in there and did his job and rescued a boy. But I know Caleb was a lifeguard there, and I said, hey, why don't we go there and spend about 30 minutes, you know, just enough time for me to kind of get out and get some air and just get a little physical here and there. And so we did that, and then while we were in this one pool area, my wife knew this lady, and we began to talk to this lady, and she was telling me about how her daughter was, I don't even know, not even a year, maybe she's a year old, and her name was Aniston, and she was talking about how she was had cancer in her leg, and how God, and I told her, I said, God healed, we're believing God's healing her, and she said, that's exactly what happened. She said, I have a good church. She said, my church prayed for me and prayed for my daughter while they sent her to Children's and worked on her. And she said, we just got back and they did more markers and there is no sign of cancer. That is amazing. Now, you're not alone. You are not alone. Our church is not alone. Amen? We know of a church locally that has, their pastor has had to resign because of health situations. And the church is divided right now. The church is they're not in unity, and they're on the propensity of a split, and that would be a terrible thing to see that church. And it's a great church here locally. And so, you know, everybody's going through it. There are more giants, but there are still more stones. So that's the good news. The good news and the bad news. The bad news is there's more giants. You're going to keep fighting. As long as you're on planet Earth, you're going to be fighting some giants. You're going to have to keep your guard up. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to wear the whole armor of God. That's every Christian's battle. We're all going to do that. But the good news is there's still more stones. There's still more stones. Look at 1 Samuel 17. This is about David. Young David, they say he was around 17 years old. He took a staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And so you have young David here, and we know the story. He's facing Goliath. Some people say he was 9 feet tall. Some people say he was even up to 15 feet tall. It doesn't matter. He was a giant, and he was mocking the army of God, the army of Israel, and something had to be done. There's giants out there in your life, and something's going to have to be done. You're going to have to face those giants. You can't just put your head down in the sand anymore and just pretend that they're going to go away. Because guess what? They're not going to go away. You're still going to have to face those giants. You're still going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And I know many of you already know the answer to this, but I always like to ask you this question. Why did David choose five smooth stones? I mean, it was just one giant, right? Why did he choose five smooth stones to take down? And that's all he needed. He wasn't going to miss because he was a marksman. He was very good at what he did, right? So we know from biblical history and reading scripture that David was prepared for Goliath, and he was also prepared for four other giants that remained. Now I'm going to show you this. Where did these giants come from? Where did these giants come from? That's interesting because, you know, today you don't see anybody walking around that's 15 feet tall, right? I was talking to a former Marine that had done some time in he had done some time in Afghanistan. And he told me, he said, there are some really strange things going on in Afghanistan. He said, there's some things that I'm not even really allowed to talk to you about. And I said something to him about a giant. He said, yes, there are proofs. There is a proof of giants in Afghanistan, that they actually roam the earth and live there. There's proof of that. And so I thought that was really interesting. So where do these giants come from? Well, we know from the Bible history that giant-sized men existed before and after the flood of Noah. Prior to the flood, these giants had corrupted the imagination of men and had perverted the entire race of humanity. Look at Genesis chapter 6. This is the story of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4 said there were giants in the earth in those days, and God bless you. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, in other words, they had relations, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. So there's proof right there. There is proof that giants existed before the flood of Noah. And so after these giants reemerged, here they come again. Listen, there are more giants, but there's still more stones. The giants reemerged. Where are they at now? Well, they're in the promised land, intimidating the 10 spies in the land. Look at the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 31 says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it, men of great stature. Notice that. And look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So there's another account, a biblical account of giants. And so in this case, in this specific scripture, Numbers, there's a lesson. And this lesson I want to share with you is this. If you do not face your giants, not only will it become a stumbling block in your life, but it will be a stumbling block in the lives of others. And not only that, even generations to come. Did you know that this event, Jews decided they weren't going to go, these Hebrews decided they were too scared to go in to the promised land, do you realize that this event is known to the Jews as the ninth of Av? Anybody ever heard the ninth of Av before? The ninth of Av? The ninth of Av is called the darkest day in Jewish history. Not only did they fail to go into the promised land as God told them to, but on that same day, centuries later, the temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. And so this was a darkened day. Do you see what happens when you fail to get rid of your giants? Some of you have giants laying around, still lurking around your life, and you're not dealing with your giants. You're not facing your giants, and God's wanting you to take those giants down. There's still stones in the brook. They're still there. We read now. what we've just read. We read now the giants have returned. The giants have returned. Now it's in David's time. Here's some more great advice I can give you when you face your giants. And I want you to write this down. It is after a great victory or before a great breakthrough will your adversity become the strongest. I'll read that one more time. It is after a great victory or before a great breakthrough will your adversity become the strongest. It's always then, after you've won or right before another breakthrough, that's when the time is really tough. Adversity is tough. Now I want you to see this, because there's something interesting here with David. He's got 5 stones. Now he's down to 4 stones. All right? 1 Chronicles 20, verse 4, and it's going to be on your screen. Look at this, and it says, and it came to pass after this that there arose a war at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Hushathite slew Sipiah that was of the children of a giant, and they were subdued. And there was a war again with the Philistines, and Elanon the son of Jair slew Lamni, the brother of Goliath. Look, there's a brother of Goliath, the Gittite, whose spear staff was like a weaver's beam. And yet again there was war at Gath, where was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes, look at this, were 4 and 20, 6 on each hand, 6 on each foot. And he also was the son of a giant. But when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, David's brother, slew him. There were born unto the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and the hand of the servants. So you see something. There were still giants there. But David and David's mighty men took down those giants. So there's still giants around, but there's still stones around as well. There's more stones. I believe there's more stones than there are giants. How do you say that? Well, because that's what God says in His words. There's more of us than there are of them. Amen? So I want to show you 3 spiritual patterns. Then I need to close because I'm getting completely dizzy. 3 spiritual patterns when you're fighting giants. Number one, and it'll be on your screen, giants want to replicate. Giants want to replicate. Sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, or even years later, something shows up that looks and acts a lot like the giants you faced in the past. That always happens. Let me tell you something. It's not Goliath back from the dead. It's his brother who looks and acts a lot like his brother Goliath. So the giants want to replicate. Number two, there are still stones in the brook. What does that mean? Well, we need to be equipped. The same faith you use to take down past giants is the same faith you have to take down future giants. That same faith. God is not dead. The word is alive. It's still sharp. It's still the sword. You still have to walk in faith. You still have to believe that God is for you. That if God be for us, who can be against us? You still have to trust in the Lord. There are more stones. But this is the truth about this. Not every battle is won the same way. Notice David, he's fighting differently in battles. His battle strategy is not always the same way it was. There's a different technique. There's a different strategy. And sometimes some of you that are fighting battles in your life, maybe the biggest thing for you to do is to zip your lip. Not say anything. Be still and let God fight your battle for you. Number 3, the last one. And this is my favorite one. Number 3, all giants have an expiration date. You came today to hear that. There are still giants, but guess what? All those giants have an expiration date. You may not be able to see it right now, but that giant that you're facing or that you've been facing has an expiration date. It is always wisdom. Every time when I shop with my wife, it's always wisdom to look for your expiration date when you're purchasing food. I seen her grab milk the other day. The very first thing she did was look on the milk to see when it expired, right? That was a couple weeks ago, and it said June 28th, so she grabbed it. All right, that milk is gone, by the way, so it's not there anymore. But it's always wisdom to do that. But it's always wisdom to know that your test that you're going through and your trial will not last forever. Here I'm telling you this behind this desk, this sacred desk, and I've been facing this going on almost 4 years, but I'm still telling you that it's not going to last forever. That struggle you're going through, that temptation you're going through, those tests that you're facing, it has an expiration date on it. Maybe God is just waiting for you to get down on your knees and pray and say, God, speed up the process. Speed it up. Maybe God's waiting on you to start operating in faith. Start showing and proving to God that you can be a person that is faithful to Him and to His house and to His word. Maybe God is raising you up in these last days and causing you to become a giant slayer, but you have not faced the bear and you've not faced the lion. Maybe God's waiting for you to just make your way to the brook and find you 5 smooth stones. Maybe God's waiting on you right now to say, okay, God, nobody else is going to go and take the land, but for me and my house, we're going to go into the land and we're going to take back what belongs to ours, what the devil has stolen. It's ours, and we're giving God the glory because God is going before us. Do we have any giant killers in this place? Yes. Glory to God. So there will come a day that giant will never show his ugly face anymore. Let me show you a scripture here. 1 Samuel 7:13. It said, so the Philistines were subdued and they came no more. Somebody say, no more. It's time to have a no more mentality in your spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe there's a temptation or a habit and you just got to say, no more. Maybe you're dealing with some issues in your life or outside your life or in the sphere of your influence, relationships, and it seems like it just will never quit. And it's fine. You say, know what? No more. No more. It's like a parent telling its child, you're not going to say another word. No more, right? It's like the wife telling the husband, he's at the tool store, he's at Harbor Freight, and he's blowing that basket up, and she's standing there with her hand on her hip, and she says, no more, right? Or it's the husband who's sitting in the car and the wife is going in shopping and you're looking at your watch and you're thinking, is she ever going to get done? I know I got some men in here. Do I got some men in here that can preach with me? And you've been waiting and waiting, and she comes out with nothing in her hand, and you've been in that hot car for 3 hours and you said, no more, no more. We need to have a no more mentality about ourselves with those giants and say, hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is my life. God, give it to me. Let's fight this good fight of faith and let's be victorious. No more are we going to surrender to the devil and his tactics. Do I have someone who can say amen? We'll have a marriage series here in the future for all of you men and women that felt you were singled out. So how do I apply this to my life? I'm going to tell you a story. I thought this was fitting. When I was a youth pastor, and it's been a long time since I've done this, but when I was a youth pastor, my beautiful wife and I, we were asked almost every summer, even when we were pastors there early on, we were asked, well, I guess I was asked even when I was at Trinity, but we were asked to go preach sometimes 1 or 2 youth camps a summer. And we would drag all of our sound equipment. Sometimes we had a puppet stage. We'd drag all that stuff with us. And sometimes we would take our youth. We took close to 30, I think, or maybe 40 one year when we were here at Gospel Lighthouse. And we took them to Nashville to youth camps. Man, they were awesome. And one day, a pastor came up to me when I was setting up my sound equipment. And he said these words to me. His name was Brother Jumper. And he said, they're back. Just came up to me and had that little grin. He said, they're back. And I'm thinking, maybe he's talking about some people. Then all of a sudden it dawned on me what he was talking about. Then I realized I knew exactly what he was talking about. He had a young man attending his church, and this young man opened himself up to demonic influence. I can't tell you exactly how he was doing it, what he was involved in, but he opened himself up to demonic influence. And I remember the year before this young man, the year before we cast a devil or two out of him. It was so extraordinary that this young man was, it took five grown men to hold him down. He was just a little old guy. And under the power of darkness, he was so heavily influenced, demonic possessed. He had opened himself up to so much. And we cast those demons out. I'll never forget that. And, well, here's this pastor, and he's coming to me, and he's saying they're back. And the pastor was warning me that those demons had returned. So I want to talk to you about application, because I believe the best way to make the true and pure application of this message this morning is not to invite the giants back. Don't invite them back. Yeah, there's more giants out there, but you don't have to invite them to come. Don't open yourself up for an invitation. Listen to what this scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Listen to what this says. This is so important. I want you to pay attention to this. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Of his devices. One reason we fight giants over, Pastor Carl, over and over again is because we have not completely evicted the giant. Now, if you will go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you'll look at that scripture, do you know what the Apostle Paul's talking about? We're not ignorant of his devices. Does anybody know what he's talking about? Anybody want to know what he's talking about? Is he talking about lust? Is he talking about pornography? Is he talking about adultery? Is he talking about stealing? What's he talking about? You guys ready for this? This is what he said. We're not ignorant of devices. He's talking about unforgiveness. Do you realize that unforgiveness is one of the biggest giants that you'll ever deal with? And he's saying, we're not ignorant of the devices, so we're not going to allow Satan to get an advantage. That's what I see a lot of times. That's how these giants come into our lives, Sister Linda, is because we're bitter. Because we've been offended, or we were dragged into someone else's offense. And then that develops a crevice, an open door for the enemy to come in into your life. This is what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4 and 27. If you've never memorized this scripture, you need to. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Stand to your feet this morning. Because I know I'm talking to some people in this room. I don't know, listen, I know God gives us a space to repent, but Brother Vernon, I mean, you've been in this for a long time. I cannot tell you if time is up. I cannot tell you that. I cannot tell you that God has said, all right, for America, you had your chance. I get sick to my stomach. Even some people that I know, pastors and evangelists that I know, and they're just, all they want to talk about is politics. And I'm like, what is the deal here? Why don't you talk about Jesus? Why don't you show? And I believe the only way we'll ever get revival is we get off this political stuff and get back on Jesus. And keep Jesus at the forefront of all of our messages. Always. So you're here this morning, and maybe you're here and you say, Pastor JC, I've got giants in my life, and I don't have the stones, and I want to be equipped. Or maybe you're just facing a giant and you have stones, and you just need strength. You need God's help. Listen, I got a message that I began on Friday. And we just preached on soul wounds. We just preached on that. But then God gave me another message for here, come up really quick, called soul ties. And maybe you've tithed, come in agreement with some things that you shouldn't have been in agreement with. Soul ties. Maybe you've invited giants in your life that don't belong there. And you tell yourself, well, I'm strong enough. Oh, I'll be able to kick this habit. I'll be able to quit. I've done it before in the past. It's like what Jesus said, Pastor Carl. The man cleans his house. What happens? He sees seven more. That's even worse than the first one. Comes back and takes occupancy. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you say, Pastor JC, I got some giants that I need to take down. And I need God's help. If that's you, hold your hand up high, real high. I see hands all in this room. My, oh, my. What a profound, profound scene. Profound scene. I want you to bow your head. Keep your heads bowed because I have a word for someone here through the Holy Spirit. I feel like there's someone perhaps here. There may be more than one. Possibly is. Or there may be someone that you know, a loved one that you know that you're close to, and they are dealing with condemnation, self-condemnation. They're dealing with it. And it's rocking their world. They feel they've almost talked themselves into defeat, that they're unworthy, that they'll never be healed. They'll never be anything. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie from the devil. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled through us. And so, through Christ. And so I'm telling you today, you cannot allow that self-condemnation. That's probably a giant. Yeah, you made mistakes. Guess what? We've all made mistakes. Everyone in this room has fell, has came short of the glory of God. We've all fell down and made mistakes. Don't kick yourself up always and let the devil always remind you of your past. It's time to remind the devil of his future. You are born again. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You are set free and healed and strengthened. You have a purpose and a destiny, and God has designed you for a moment just like today, for such a time as this. Don't let the devil talk you out of it and try to remind you of how bad you were. We were all bad, but thank God we have a Savior, an advocate with the Father that has forgiven us and casted our sin in a sea of forgiveness to remember no more. So quit remembering it. Quit harboring on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to do this. This will help me. I want you to come and find a place to pray at these altars. This will give me a chance to sit down and get my bed.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.